WBAI New York and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock. The program you just heard, Labrish with Hapta Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And stay tuned for Back of the Book.
It's right here. Right, yourself.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All Trump Returns in August? I don't think so. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
Indeed. And you can find out a little bit more about what we're going to talk about here by going up to my website at www.glib.com. That's glib.com. And you can look at things up there. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. And at the top, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that and you will get to the webpage for tonight's program. And the WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. This is our 47th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. So if things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program simply cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the top news story of this week. We are holding at 109 followers on Twitter. Oh, it's so tremendous. It keeps making the headlines around the world that we have 109 followers, more than anybody else in the multiverse. Some programming notes. We will be doing our annual lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, questioning, or queer, plus infinity program on Saturday, June 26th, and we will be preempted for a fundraising special on July 3rd. So June 26th, that's 2 weeks from now, will be our annual Pride and Christopher Street Liberation Day program. And this program got put on the air late last time, and so the official archive doesn't have the whole program. I have posted the full program, without music, of course, on my website, and it's accessible through the webpage for the last program, so you can go look at that if you please. The next public WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on Wednesday, July 14th, Bastille Day, 2021, at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had an LSB meeting this past Wednesday night. We didn't have anything spectacular going on during it, but as treasurer, I did get to give a report. And the good news for all of us, including all of you listening, is that Pacifica has gotten its FY20 audit to the auditors. FY20, fiscal year 20, ended for WBAI and Pacifica on September 30th of last year, and we have gotten the audit into the auditors. They're doing what they do with it. They look at things, they ask questions and stuff like that, and then they certify the audit. We are now on track to getting the final version of the audit sent to the California Attorney General by the June 30th deadline. That's when the deadline is. And of course, Pacifica, which is the entity that owns WBAI and the other Pacifica radio stations, is in California, so that's why the audit has to be sent to the California Attorney General's office. At that point, Pacifica will be current on its audits for the first time in 7 or 8 years. This is very good news. That will at least help us to qualify for CPB funding and stuff like that, although there may be some other complications in there, but at least we'll have an audit. And at that local station board meeting, there was some controversy over something I reported on. It's an idea that's getting kicked around at the Pacifica National Board level, and the idea is to sell a non-fungible transfer, or NFT, of something from Pacifica. This is still very early in this idea, and we'll see if it ever happens. I'll have some more to say about that later in the program. Another idea that's come from the Pacifica National Board is the idea of floating a private placement bond that would be exclusively for members of Pacifica. So if you're a member of Pacifica, you might get a chance to invest some dough in this network. Oh, great. It was speculated that the minimum amount for a Pacifica member to invest would be between $500 and $1,000, and this idea still needs a lot of fleshing out, and it would be a year or two before it could be done, if it could be done, but hey, you may get to invest in the Pacifica Foundation. And according to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 175,009,480 on Friday, and global deaths reached 3,776,273. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 33,433,539, and the death toll in America was 599,031. So 2,088 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. The death rate is more than 1,000 lower than the previous weeks, and we're now just above 2,000 dead in America per week. It's still a huge number, but it's a lot better than it had been. And also, I suspect by the time we get this program on the air, the death toll in America will have hit 600,000. In any event, by the time the program airs on Saturday morning, all of the numbers will be higher. And again, all of this was mostly preventable. It didn't have to happen. Meanwhile, India continues to catch up to the United States of America with 29,274,823 cases, with deaths at 363,079. So India has had about 22,377 deaths in this past week, which is more than it had had last week. The figures for both countries are probably higher than the official tallies. Well, we had an eclipse. And we did talk about this in the last program, but that's part of the program that got clipped off at the end. And so those of you who went and listened to the whole program, or at least the end of the program up on my website, know about what we were talking about there. It was, of course, an annular solar eclipse, which means the moon doesn't perfectly cover the sun. And for lucky people who are located somewhere else, I don't know, I think in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean or maybe in Russia or something, they got to see the ring of fire phenomenon where the moon is completely centered on the sun, but the sun isn't totally blotted out. And so you have this ring of sun around the moon. We didn't get to see that because the sun rose in Brooklyn at 5:25 in the morning. Of course, it had to clear several buildings before we could see it. We looked out our window, and so we got to watch it coming up, and then it went through the clouds for a while. But eventually, we did get to see the eclipse, and what we saw was a partial eclipse. We didn't see the ring of fire. That was all over. And what we saw was a big piece of the moon covering some of the sun. And that was good to see.
It was very exciting.
Pickles really liked. And so we were looking at that. We have these special glasses that we got years ago that allow us to look at eclipses because it filters out the sun. Filters it out so well that when just a teeny piece of the sun was peeking through the clouds, we either couldn't see it at all or there was just a vague little oranginess that was really indiscernible from anything else. But eventually, it got through enough of the clouds that we were able to see the actual eclipse. We got to see the partial eclipse for us. So that was very nice. It was good stuff and we enjoyed it. And it's something where there's real life going on. It's the universe. You can see the universe doing something and doing something that's quite interesting because it fits so well. On other planets, the moon doesn't fit so well with their star. The sun is 400 times wider than the moon. However, the sun is 400 times farther away than the moon, so it just so happens that when things work out well, the moon covers the sun exactly. And this isn't going to happen everywhere else. It's a coincidence, but it's one of those really amazing things that you can run into. And so, yeah, the moon didn't cover it completely this time. Nobody saw that. They saw the annular eclipse. We got to see the partial. And it was nice to see it because you realize you're looking at something that's really happening. No person is doing this. This is a natural phenomenon. And, yeah, we found it quite nice, and it was good to hang out and look at that.
And how great is it to see it from your own apartment? Why, even standing in the bathtub looking out the bathroom window. You can rest your elbows on the ledge and just hold those glasses up, and oh, boy, that was great.
You could take a bath or take a shower and watch an eclipse all at the same time. I think you'd have to take a bath because the shower would get the little glasses wet and they're all paper. Yeah, and there's an article up on the astronomy.com website where one guy is saying, hey, he thinks that eclipses are what made human beings curious because, you know, there are all sorts of things that happen. There were the hunter-gatherers and actually really scavengers. That's what humans were. They hunted a little bit, but they were mostly scavenging stuff. They would have had ordinary things. They would have had day and night, and they would have had to fight with animals. They had all sorts of things going on, but they were regular things. And this guy's brief is that a sudden solar eclipse was out of the ordinary, and it was spectacular, and it didn't last long. So between it not lasting long and occurring for those people randomly, we know now that there's a regular predictable time for it, but that wasn't known hundreds of thousands of years ago. And so those folks and the pre-humans and humans, they would have been really shocked by this because when you get a total eclipse, it really is a spectacular thing to see because everything turns into nighttime. And those ancient people and pre-humans, we assume the pre-humans would have really noticed this too. They would have said, you know, it would have seemed like nighttime is subtly coming on, and then it goes, and they would have wondered what's happening here. And so this guy says this may have been what caused curiosity to really happen in human beings, and he compares it to the monolith in 2001, A Space Odyssey. And I don't know, it's an interesting idea there, and certainly people have all sorts of myths about it. There are all sorts of cultural myths about dragons eating the sun, or a giant insect eating the sun, or a dung beetle moving the moon around in front of the sun. They at least figured out it was the moon. And all sorts of myths around the solar eclipses. So, yeah, there are also some around the lunar eclipses, too, but they're not nearly as spectacular, because with a total solar eclipse, it is like nighttime all of a sudden, and the birds start shutting down, and other animals start going to sleep, because when it gets dark, various animals just automatically go right to sleep. Human beings may stand around and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? So we got to watch the eclipse, and we're very glad about it. It was a good thing to have happen, and it was nice. Maybe it marks the end of the pandemic for us, at least.
Well, one can always hope.
Well, not the end of the pandemic for the world, unfortunately.
No, no, no.
And speaking of the pandemic, and it's kind of waning around here anyway, there's stuff that various people have been doing. People have been going out and swimming, and people have been going out and surfing, and going out and drinking in bars, and all of this whooping it up stuff, and gee whiz, Pickles of the North, what thrilling thing have you done now that the pandemic and the restrictions are kind of lifted?
Oh, the exciting thing that I did the other day was, for the first time in 14 months, I went to the laundromat.
Actually, it's more than 15 months.
Is it that long?
Yeah.
The thing is that we don't personally have a washer or dryer, and we don't have access to any good ones, so we go out to the laundromat. And in fact, I don't believe, as an adult, I've always gone to the laundromat. It's not an unusual thing. I'm used to it. I kind of like doing it because it's, you know, you can go there and you can read, and sometimes you talk to people. And I kind of took over when Arpal and I started living with each other, and I took over doing the laundromat, but I was happy to do it.
That's because I'm a slob.
Well, but yet, during the pandemic, we had the return of the bucket brigade.
That's what I used to do a lot of the time. I ain't going out. I'm just going to throw this stuff in a bucket, throw in some water and detergent, and I'll rough it up a bit, and I hope that works.
The thing is, it's incredibly hard to do things like towels and sheets using a bucket and drying them. But we've been doing it for months and months. Haven't been going out a lot, so, you know, not a lot of clothing to wash. Here's a handy hint. If you want to really rinse that soap out, use vinegar in your water. Yes, that will. And just keep on rinsing and rinsing and rinsing and rinsing. So, back to the laundromat. Been going to the same laundromat for, I guess, about 18 years. And
wow.
It's gone through a lot of several iterations. Usually the people working there are always very nice. Often they've worked there for many years at a time, and then fortunately got on to like a better paying job, which is always wonderful. So haven't gone there because, you know, especially during the worst time of the pandemic here in New York City, the thought of going into a small space like that, which was considered an essential place, was just no. You know, cause
and people weren't wearing masks.
People weren't wearing masks. They were supposed to, but they didn't. And also, I just have never, I would not want to just deliver laundry to be done. I got to do it myself. So decided, okay, it's time to go back now. Been vaccinated. I'm still wearing a mask. Arpal's still wearing a mask. But let's give it a try. Let's bring those heavy items over there. Now, I noticed a couple weeks before I decided to do this, the laundromat had been open the whole time, of course, being essential. But lately, the gate, two gates in the front, one gate never up, other gate only open 3/4 of the way up. And when you peek inside, it looked like the lights weren't on, which is odd. However, I saw a couple of people in there doing their laundry, so figured it's okay. They're off, so I don't know.
So what happens next?
So I decided to run in there quickly and just see how things were. And there was a young lady in there doing her laundry. When I got in there, I realized, oh, the light's definitely not on, which is unusual. But she said the attendant had just gone out to get a coffee and was coming back. So I thought, okay. And I said, do you feel okay doing your laundry in here? Oh, yeah. But she was standing right at the front, and yet she had the two dryers that were right at the front. So I thought, oh, okay. Attendant going out for coffee, not unusual, happens all the time. And they say, do you don't mind look keeping an eye on things? And you say, oh, all right, you know, because you're there doing your laundry, you know. So the next day, I bring my laundry over, our laundry over, I should say. And I get there, and the gates are still in the same position. I open up the door. Lights are not on. No one's in there. So I thought, okay, the attendant could be getting coffee. It's the same time. It's early in the morning. So I put my laundry on. And as I'm putting the laundry on, as soon as I put the money in, I thought, oh, I don't know if this is a good idea. But I'm already committed at this point because I've got it in there. The lights aren't on. It's very deadly quiet. From the outside, it looks as if this is not a working place. I mean, because, you know, there's no action going on. And I'm thinking, oh, this is odd. I look around. There are no piles of freshly done laundry waiting for people to come and pick up. Usually they're piled on top of the machines in the middle. Not one. I peek in the back because I'm thinking, oh, you know, I better check and see if there are any feet sticking out, you know, behind the counter there. There weren't any feet. That was good. All the security cameras were on. I see a couple of bags. They look like white laundry, maybe, that are sitting on the floor there, but they could have been fake laundry, I guess, because it just was very odd. There was nothing happening. All during the washing cycle, no one showed up. So I thought, oh, this is not good. So just, I'm waiting for it to spin out so I can take it out. And I had my encounter with the only other living creature in there. This big palmetto bug comes strolling along the center of the aisle. It's obvious he was used to being, you know, not having anyone bother him. And he sees me, I see him, and I'm like, ooh, because I'm a little scared of those things. And he just sort of leisurely starts heading towards the employee's washroom in the back.
Maybe that was the attendant.
He might have been the owner. I don't know. So anyway, I thought, okay, let's try and hurry up this process. So I get the clothes out and I throw them into the dryers, and it's spinning, and I'm standing next to the front window. Not so much where people can see me. Actually, I startled one lady. I moved and she was walking by and she like jumped. So it's like, oh my God, what is going on with this place? The machines all work. The floors were swept. Clearly they weren't taking in laundry to do. People weren't coming in to do their own laundry. So before the cycles were done, I pulled all the clothing back out and dumped it in my cart and headed out of there. And it was the worst feeling I've ever had in a laundromat, because what is going on there? It's open, but it's not open. And then I thought of something as I was leaving. On the Lower East Side, there used to be, many years ago, this little bodega. And in the window, they had a box with three donuts in it. Three donuts. That's all that was in the window. And when you went in, they didn't have anything else. There were some like old ladies sitting in there giving you the stink eye. And that place, it was either, I think it probably, they were selling dope in the back room, or it was a, what do you call it? People made book there. It was a gambling place.
Oh, it's a bookie joint.
Yeah, I think it might have been a bookie joint. But I thought, oh, this is like the Three Donut Place. So obviously, either they're just trying to run the business into the ground for some reason, or collecting, you know, pandemic money and not actually paying any workers to do any work or have anybody go in there, or something else is going on. But I'm afraid after 18 years, that's probably the last time I'm going in there.
Oh, my. We're never going to get our clothing washed again. Is that it?
No, we have a couple.
We're going to have to use the bucket again from now on?
Well, you know, that's going to still happen for the delicates. But for the big items, I'm just going to search around and see if there's another place that is actually in operation.
We'll use the bucket for my dainties.
Your dainties.
Okay. Well, thank you, my dear, for that thrilling travel through stuff that's now happening with the pandemic waning. Well, this is WBAI New York, and this is a listener-sponsored non-commercial radio station. That's not just a slogan. We actually are listener-sponsored because we're not selling cars, and we're not selling condos, and we're not selling timeshares in some strange place. We are here begging. We are begging you, the listener, to be our listener sponsor. The way you do that is you call 1-212-209-2950, and you'll get a call center. At the call center, you will say, hey, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you can do that. And you can become a BAI buddy. And what is a BAI buddy? A BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership here at WBAI. And what you do is you say, hey, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And what you then tell them is how much you'd like to donate. A sustaining membership is one where you donate on a monthly basis. And so you say, I want to donate a certain amount of money each month. And you can tell them you want to donate $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month, and you can tell them that, and that's how much they'll set you down for, and you tell them what day of the month you want to be charged for it. And then when that day of the month rolls around, they will charge your credit card or your debit card whatever amount of money you have previously told them to do. So it's whatever amount you decide, as little as $5. And it is also on the day of the month when it's most convenient for you. So if they're like, if the first is a bad time, or the last end of the month, or the middle of the month is a bad time, if you have like the 10th or the 20th is the good time, you tell them that's when to charge your card. And they'll do that. And you will be contributing to WBAI and helping to keep us on the air. And WBAI, the general manager tells us, costs $120,000 a month to run. There are a lot of bills. We have four times square where we have to have our tower, our antenna, our transmitter and our antenna are there. It's called a tower. It's their tower, not our tower, but we put the antenna there, or we plug into their antenna. And we used to be at the Empire State Building, but it got so expensive we couldn't stay there. So we had to leave and go to Four Times Square. And so that's an expense. We have to pay money on the studio we have. Yes, we're not in there, but we still got to pay rent on there. And so, yeah, the studio rent still is going. And there are some employees, not a whole lot of them, but we have a few employees. And so the place costs money to run. There's a big electricity bill. You can imagine that a radio station, it's on 24/7, and it has all sorts of electronic equipment and connections. We have our various phone lines we have to have. We use phone lines to get the audio from our downtown location, our downtown Brooklyn location, up to Four Times Square. And we have to have internet access for all sorts of reasons. So there are all of these things that add up, and it's $120,000 a month. And it may seem like that's an impossible amount to pay, but we almost pay it. I say almost because we miss by rather a bit every month. And that's a source of problems, because some people in Pacifica are very bothered about that. And, you know, they have a right to be bothered about the fact that we can't pay all our bills. But you can help us get out of that. You can help us to pay our bills by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Please mention Back of the Book. That way we get credit for the fact that you've called in. 1-212-209-2950 is a number to call. And, you know, we do all sorts of things here on this radio program. And, yeah, it's not a live program at this point in time because the station is shut down and we can't go in there and do it live at this time. And we wouldn't have been able to because with the trains shut down, we wouldn't have been able to get in there for most of this pandemic lockdown. And now the lockdown is coming away, and at some point, we're going to be going in and doing the program live again. So that's something to count on for us all. But you will be able to keep it all going. You'll be able to keep it all going by calling your pledge in. And besides calling 1-212-209-2950 and becoming a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, you can also donate one time. You can make a one-time donation to WBAI. Again, tell them that's in the name of Back of the Book too. It'll help. And so, yeah, you can do that and you can get your money sent to WBAI, and that will help us a great deal. 1-212-209-2950. And the overnights need support. The overnights need support because in the daytime, there are a lot of people listening. There are far fewer of you listening in the overnights from midnight to 6. There are fewer of you listening, and so we don't make as much money. And we need to tell management that there are listeners to these overnight programs. And the real way they find that out is when you pledge. And so if we have a bunch of BAI buddies pledging for Back of the Book, that will be really helpful. All right, 1-212-209-2950. We do science things on this program. We do all sorts of stuff. Sometimes we do some funny stuff. Sometimes we do some stuff that's a little bit scary. And we talk about the sciences and politics and all sorts of things. We also obviously talk about our personal lives and what we do. This is Freeform Live Radio, except we can't do it live right now. We're trying to keep it going. 1-212-209-2950. Please call that number and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book and tell them you want to be charged for $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 or $20 a month. It will be really helpful. And one of our BAI buddies was talking at the local station board meeting this past week, and she said, wow, this new call center is far more efficient, works a lot better. So give the new call center a call at 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. We'll be glad about that. Thank you. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. A couple of programs ago, we talked about the latest flap over UFOs, unidentified flying objects. The Pentagon has since issued a statement, and they say that the UAPs, as they call them, unidentified aerial phenomena, the UAPs are not alien spaceships, which is going to make some number of people we know very disappointed. They're waiting for them to come down and land and be their new friends. Anyway, they've said it's not alien spaceships, and the Pentagon also says they're not a part of any U.S. research and development project, but that they are probably someone spying on the U.S. military. and someone would be a foreign country, because you see these things and you have the fastest jet planes America has chasing them and they get away. And you also have them approaching a ship and then diving under the water. It's as if somebody in a foreign country had been watching old Jerry Anderson action things where he had, I don't know, Thunderbird or one thing or another. Or maybe they watched, the old program UFO, which was done by Jerry Anderson but was live action. And they had... they had rocket ships that came out of submarines, and then they had jet planes that then would dive under the water and become a submarine, all this kind of stuff. And this is kind of sounding a lot like that, but maybe somebody in a foreign country did that. And of course, that means there are national security issues here. And oh boy, that's something to take seriously if your enemy has aircraft that you can't catch and can't even figure out what the hell you're looking at. Oh man, that's not good. And I brought up the idea that maybe a lot of this is just a problem, some sort of glitch in the very sophisticated radars that they have on these aircraft. Although from what I'm seeing, that concept is being discounted greatly. And it is not beyond the possibility, of course, that people are indeed working on something in America and trying it out on American aircraft. That would be an idea. And either the Pentagon doesn't even know about it, or the Pentagon is lying about it in order to keep it secret. Either one of those could happen. Remember the Manhattan Project? They denied anything was happening. They kept it secret. And yeah, there's that. There have also been UFO sightings that we know were in fact high-performance aircraft that were being experimented with out of Area 51 and places like that. And so that sort of thing goes on. And then there's the possibility that someone or some country has come up with a way to deceive those sophisticated radars that are being used. And maybe they've even found a way to project some false image that people can see. Because I think some of these things have been seen visually by human eyes. So that's yet another possibility. It could be the so-called People's Republic of China, or it could be Russia. Either one of those may have come up with either some really highfalutin aircraft that we can't match, which will be really bad news, because if they feel like nuking us, we're in trouble. Or they could just take out our aircraft. Or maybe they've come up with a way to deceive the aircraft and make it seem as if something's there and have the aircraft chase something that isn't there. You could use that too. You could divert aircraft from where they're supposed to be. So that could be a problem. But anyway, yeah, that's what's happening with UFOs at this point in time. Oh boy. And I mentioned earlier on that at the WBAI local station board meeting this past week, there were objections raised because NFTs were being proposed as something that Pacifica would end up selling. An NFT is, of course, a non-fungible transfer, which means it's some kind of digital thing that can be made so that one person owns it. Now, the way the ownership works is odd because the original is actually kept by the entity that owns it, like Pacifica in this case, and they can still make zillions of copies of it if they want, but somebody somehow owns a digital copy of it. It's a strange idea, these NFTs. Anyway, the objection was raised at the LSB meeting that these NFTs, which some people want Pacifica to auction off, are paid for in cryptocurrencies. And some LSB members were very adamant that Pacifica shouldn't have anything to do with cryptocurrencies because they are energy intensive to mine. That's how you get them. It's called mining. It's not digging at anything. Basically what it is, cryptocurrency mining consists of solving a puzzle, a digital puzzle in a computer, which sounds really like a stupid basis for currency, but that's what's happening. Anyway, these cryptocurrencies are energy intensive to mine, and the mining operations have a big carbon footprint. And I know that there's concern about cryptocurrency mining and those operations in the so-called People's Republic of China, where companies use a huge amount of electrical energy for their supercomputer farms, and they use it to mine this silly cryptocurrency stuff. In fact, late last month, the so-called People's Republic of China started cracking down on cryptocurrency mining. Bitcoin mining in the so-called People's Republic of China had been projected to generate more than 130 million metric tons of carbon emissions by 2024. And to put that in perspective, that's more than the total annual carbon emissions output from the Czech Republic and Qatar in 2016. So they're cracking down in China. Meanwhile, El Salvador has become the first country in the world to adopt Bitcoin as legal tender. Their president, Nayib Bukele, wants to take this one step further with a plan to create 100% renewable cryptocurrency mining facilities using volcanoes that produce geothermal energy. So he wants to use volcanoes to generate Bitcoin. And with they had a bill. They passed a law about this. And with passing this law, Bitcoin, and they passed it, Bitcoin will be instantly convertible into U.S. dollars and will have the same legal standing. Now, we're talking about, China is kicking some of these companies out. They don't want to get all their energy used up for Bitcoin mining. One of those companies that is most intensely involved in mining cryptocurrencies in China, they now say that they're going to concentrate on doing their energy-intensive crypto mining in North America. Oh, great. Jesus Christ.
Yes, Mr. Bond, we'll be using your volcanoes to increase our empire's vast fortune.
Oh, well, I think maybe somebody needs to do something about that. Let me say, to me, NFTs sound crazy, and Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, you know, we already have fiat currencies. We've got it, the dollar is a fiat currency. You got a dollar bill. It's a piece of paper. A sophisticated piece of paper, but it's a piece of paper. And that's worth a dollar, and it's because it said, we say this is worth a dollar, and that's what how it works. Well, those are fiat currencies, and people have had issues with that for since they came out. Now we've got this stuff, the cryptocurrencies, which are, I don't know, you might want to call them bull bleep currencies, except people are trading it back and forth. I don't know. It seems like cryptocurrencies are beyond fiat currencies. What backs them? Because somebody has a computer that solved a puzzle? That's literally what it is. You're solving a puzzle on a computer. Crap. You know, we could have been generating cryptocurrencies from playing Pong decades ago, but nobody thought of doing it then because maybe the world wasn't quite as stupid then as it is now. So here we are. It's June. It's lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, everybody else, Pride Month. And, you know, people have their flags out and all of this. And, well, there are bigots in the world. On a lake in Blue Heron Park in the state of Washington, some family members were boating together on Moses Lake. Moses. No, we're not making fun of that movie anymore. Not that right time of year. Anyway, they're on this Moses Lake in Washington and Blue Heron Park, Moses Lake. And their vessel, their little boat, was flying an LGBTQ and transgender rights flags. Another boat came right up to theirs, and its occupants were allegedly screaming slurs at the boat with the pride flags. One woman, who was one of the occupants of this nasty boat, allegedly screaming slurs at the boat with pride flags, gave him the finger. The other boat started circling around the pride boat, and it was heckling them with anti-gay and trans slurs, and the anti-gay boat did donuts around the, making big circles around the boat with the pride flags. They did donuts around them 7 or 8 times, churning up the water and rocking their boat a lot. And then the bigoted boat sped away, leaving the gay boat in a large cloud of smoke because, you know, as you're doing that kind of thing, the motor is spewing out a lot of exhaust. So these people are left with their boat rocking back and forth. They've been yelled at and insulted by these people. And now they've also got this cloud of exhaust fumes. And so the bad boat, the bigoted boat, starts going away. And just then, a passenger who only identified himself as Robbie, one of the passengers of the Pride boat, says, quote, "After a moment, we heard a loud backfire and a sputter come from the other boat. Though I could not see the boat in that direction, I could see a cloud of black smoke rising quickly," unquote. And what happened was the bigoted boat had exploded. They probably overworked their motor. And the bigots were in the water. And the bigots were then rescued by the passengers they'd just been attacking. And this person, Robbie, in the Pride boat, plucked the passengers from the water. But the bigots didn't thank them or apologize, Robbie said on Twitter. The bigots were burned and screaming for help, quote, "as if they didn't just flip us off while trying to make waves and jumble us around," unquote, Robbie tweeted. Later on TikTok, Robbie said that he and the others on his boat, quote, "got them, the bigots, out of the water immediately. We were nicer than they were," unquote. Well, it's not always about being nice. I do wonder what I would have done in that circumstance. Would I have said, "Drown, you stinking creeps"? I might have done that. I don't know.
I don't know what I would have done either, but I would have been thinking about it in my head even as I was helping them. Maybe throw them a lifeline and like tow them in.
That might have been better, yeah.
You know.
And yeah, I mean, it's sort of like our, Lincoln called it our higher angels or our better angels. Mm-hmm. And they don't always hang around too much. And I don't know what I would have done. I might have said, "Well, good. I hope you all drown and leave."
Oh, jeez.
You want to call me some more names? You know, open wide and suck in water. How good can you swim? Hey, why don't we do donuts around you for a while? Wouldn't that be fun? I don't know. I don't know what I would have done. It's one of those questions. It's one of those questions where you can't answer it until it's actually happening. And yeah, maybe my nicer part of me would have rescued the scumbags, but I sure would have had things to say to them.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And again, there's a possibility I might have said, "die."
Is it just hypothetical thinking?
It's just hypothetical thinking. I didn't actually do that.
We don't vote. We don't car or boat.
We don't have boats at
we
all.
We bus and subway.
Yes. So if somebody's on a subway and the subway car sinks, we're just going to get out of there. To hell with them. And that moron Donald Trump is still spreading his delusions. He bailed out on his new blog a couple of weeks ago after it didn't get much attention. And Facebook says that it will keep banning Trump for at least 2 more years. Facebook's Vice President of Global Affairs, Nick Clegg, said that Trump had committed, quote, a severe violation of our rules, unquote, with his posting on January 6th, while his supporters, whom he'd brought to the Capitol and whom he'd aimed at the Capitol building, were trying to hang the vice president and kill or take hostage various legislators who were trying to count the ballots from the Electoral College. It's a hell of a lot more than a violation of Facebook's rules, I must say. It's kind of, oh, treason and a high crime or misdemeanor, even though they couldn't get two-thirds on this thing because the Republicans are drinking all of his Kool-Aid. Trump is banned from Facebook until January 7th, 2023, which we hope isn't it. We hope he's banned permanently, or maybe he'll be banned from everything permanently by cessation of being, which I wouldn't feel bad about at all. Mr. Clegg of Facebook said it could be extended beyond that date if Facebook feels that Trump poses, quote, a serious risk to public safety, unquote. Well, I think he does anyway. And last week, Trump spoke at a campaign rally at Williams Arena in Greenville, North Carolina. And that crackpot who got a patent on a pillow is saying that Trump will return as president in August. The pillow crackpot says that there's a, quote, clear path, unquote, from Supreme Court rulings and the insane partisan audit of the ballots cast in Arizona and a similar recount by GOP lawmakers in Pennsylvania. Of course, in that thing that happened in the recount that the Republicans hired their pals to do in Arizona, they're looking for bamboo on the ballots because that'll mean they came from China. What? Yeah, these people really are delusional. Terribly, beyond delusional. And then Michael Flynn, Trump's former national security advisor, who pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about his communications with a Russian ambassador, and who was later pardoned by Trump, was asked by an audience member why a military coup like the one in Myanmar could not happen in the United States. And Flynn said, quote, no reason, unquote, and, quote, I mean, it should happen here, unquote. Flynn later said his comment had been, quote, misinterpreted, unquote. How do you misinterpret that? This guy was a general in the army. He was the national security advisor to the president of the United States, and he's talking about overthrowing the government. This is seriously bad stuff when somebody like that is talking about overthrowing the government and Trump has him walking around. This guy, they should find something else to charge him with and put this Flynn character in prison and leave him there. And so this right-wing craziness has to be taken seriously and fought against. This is just such awful, awful stuff. America is having problems with this, and we could have some much worse things than the attack on the Capitol when we have jerks like this running around. Yeah, let's fight it. And one way to fight it would be to pledge. Yeah, you can call 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy for Back of the Book. And WBAI, of course. And what that means is you'll be contributing to WBAI and helping to keep us fighting against this right-wing insanity, these delusions, these people who are crazy and who are armed and who are advocating the overthrow of the government. And, you know, I mean, would they assassinate the president and vice president of the United States? Well, they tried to hang the previous vice president, and he was a Republican. 1-212-209-2950. Please give that number a call, and that's a call center. And when you get them, please say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you can tell them you want to donate whatever amount you would like on a monthly basis. A BAI Buddy is the name of our sustaining membership, and you can donate $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month, and you can tell them you want to donate that amount every month, and you can tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged for that amount of money, and they'll do it. And that way, you will be contributing to WBAI on a monthly basis. One of the things this does is it gives BAI a predictable amount of revenue. If we know how much money is going to come in on a month, it helps a lot to plan which bills to pay, because we can't pay all the bills right now. But if enough of you call in at 1-212-209-2950, we should be able to pay our bills, all of them maybe even. So please give us a call at that number, 1-212-209-2950. We do all sorts of things here. We do scientific stuff. We do stuff about politics. We do various things on these programs. Also, by pledging at this time, you will be saying to management, there are listeners to these overnight programs, because a lot of people think that between midnight and 6 a.m., there's nothing on the radio, there's nothing on BAI, there's nobody there. But there are. There are all these radio programs, and all these radio programs are being produced, all sorts of things. You have us doing Freeform Live Radio. I've got some other Freeform Live Radio programs. You've got some music programs, all sorts of programs in the wee hours of the morning or very late at night, however you want to look at it. 1-212-209-2950. That's a number to call. Please give us a call at that number if you can. We'll be really glad if you call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI Buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Ah, there's Mr. Outro Music. Okay, well, that's been it for Back of the Book for this fortnight. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening, and thanks a great deal if you're someone who did call in a pledge. We're still working on trying to find out who calls in a pledge so we can thank you. And we should be back here next week. In fact, we're scheduled to be here next week. And 2 weeks from now, we should be doing our annual Christopher Street Liberation Day / Pride program. And so we'll be back in a week. Coming up next is the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. And an hour after that, at 7 o'clock this morning, you can tune in to Jim Freund with his program, Hour of the Wolf, which is all about science fiction stuff. All right. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. We'll be back in a week. It's nice out. It's late spring. The solstice is going to be coming up after our next program. It's going to be on June 20th. And we'll talk about that more in the next program. And so thanks a lot for listening. Enjoy the weather. And above all, remember what that keeping a hairy eyeball on those UFOs Dormouse said.
What's up, everybody? I'm John Leguizamo, and you got to listen to me having a great conversation with Marcia Pendleton, one of the great backstage stories.
That's Saturday at 1 p.m. on WBAI New York.
Tune in to WBAI Playhouse this Saturday at 7 p.m. for two plays by feminist playwright Paula Vogel. First, How I Learned to Drive, for which Vogel received the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. The play is driven by issues of pedophilia, incest, and misogyny.
What does she need a college for? She's got all the credentials she'll need on her chest.
Maybe I want to learn things, read, rise above my cracker background.
Whoa, now, a little bit.
What kinds of things do you want to read?
There's a whole semester course, for example, on Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
Then Baltimore Waltz. It's one of the very first plays about AIDS written by a woman to receive a major production.
The third stage. Bargaining.
Do you think if I let Elizabeth Kubler-Ross sit on my face, I'll get well?
The fourth stage. Depression.
That's two plays by Paula Vogel, Saturday evening, June 12th at 7 p.m. on WBAI Playhouse, right here on listener-sponsored, locally-controlled WBAI New York.
WBAI's 2021 local station board election is underway. A donation of $25 by June 30th gives you the right to vote. Want to do more than donate? Cast your candidacy to serve on the local station board before June 30th. Visit elections.pacifica.org to complete the nominations paperwork online and to contact your local election supervisor. Leave a voicemail on 510-993-0320 if you do not have access to a computer.
Hi, this is